verses 1 through 4. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for security. It doesn't rhyme very good, but it's a song, okay? We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the one that remains faithful. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. In God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. In that day, the song says, the chapter of Isaiah says, in that day, the song will be sung in the land of Judah. Judah, in the Old Testament, is always a synonym, sort of, the church in the New Testament. The promises of God to Judah are inherited by the church. If you want to check that out, you can look in Hebrews 8:8 if you want to. So the promises contained in these verses is a promise for Christ's church today, for Judah. Now, the word Judah has a special meaning, which you've heard me say over and over again, and it's the meaning that defines who you are, all right? It means to thrust out your hands in praise. In Hebrew, they say Yehuda, all right? In Georgia, we say Yehuda, all right? That's what it means, Yehuda, all right? So basically, the word means that you thrust up your hands in praise from your knees, and you extend them in worship. Wow. When was the last time you got on your knees and extended your hands in worship and bowed your face to the ground before your King, your God, your rock? You want the promises that are enclosed in these verses? You want to receive the fullness of God in this weary land? You want to get all that God has got for you? Be a people of praise, man. Be a people of rejoicing. Be a people of glory. Be a people who extend their hands to God in surrender. Be a people who extend their hands to God in wonder. Be a people who extend their hands to God and their voices before the throne of God in praise, because He's a great God. He's a good God. He's a glorious God. He's a mighty God. He's a God who can do all things. There's nothing that's too difficult for Him. We got to be Judah if we're going to inherit the promises of Judah. Judah is the people of praise. Judah is the people who say God is great. That's what the word praise means. It means God is great. And there's nothing too difficult for Him. There's nothing stronger than Him. And there's nothing holier or more pure or more filled with love than He is. Praise God. I asked before the service, who prayed for rain? Who prayed for rain? Praise God. Yehuda. He is great, man. He's the God of rain. He's the God who delivers us from wildfires. He's the God who gives water to the trees and gives water to the lakes and streams. He's the God who holds all things in the palm of His hand, and He has you right there in the midst of it all. Extend your hand to Him who holds you. Extend your hand to Him who covers you. Extend your hand to Him who saves you. Kneel, bow down, throw out your praise to God. This promise is for the people of praise, because He's the doer of all great things. The people of praise are going to sing this song. We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts of salvation. It doesn't have much of a rhyme, and it doesn't have a very good tune, but still it's a song. I'm sure that it sounded better in Hebrew when it was originally written. But we got a song, man, in our hearts. We got a song in our lives. We are God's city. We are God's people. We are God's Judah. Please say with me, I am God's Judah. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I am God's Judah. I am God's people. I am God's people. In this room, we are God's people. And man, we're in a new day. James talking about putting art on the walls. Crossroads Church gave us the chairs you're sitting in. And some of the tables that we sit at lunch, they gave us those. I mean, we are a people that God is creating not by our strength or our might or our wealth, but by His strength, His might, and His wealth. We're in ministry to this community. Guys, do you know that 5 days a week, breakfast is served at Hope Springs? Do you know that one day a week, lunch is served at Hope Springs? Do you know that hundreds of people come to Hope Springs when most of you are not here? They sneak in. There's a few people here who labor and work hard to serve food and things like that. And there's a few others who provide money so all these things can take place and lights can be on and rent can be paid. But there's hundreds who come in the doors every week to get a little physical food and have a little conversation and hopefully experience a little dignity and love and tenderness in their lives. Man, we have an opportunity here to be the people of God, to be the help and the strength and the hand of God in the midst of our city. We got a new opportunity opening before us. And guys, I believe, and I've been praying on this, because I've known longer than you guys have that the other church was going to move out of here and we were going to be left with the rent. I believe God wants us to inhabit this place. He wants us to fill this place up with ministry. I believe He wants us to have the food pantry and a toiletries pantry. I believe He wants us to have a clothes closet. And I believe He wants us to fill the back room up with furniture that can provide folks with furniture who, when they move into houses over here that have no furniture. I'm telling you the truth, man. If you got nothing, you got nothing. Whether they give you an apartment or not, there's nothing but a cold, hard floor over there. They don't carpet them. They don't make them nice. They don't put beds in them. They don't put couches in them. There are people who need help. There are people who need love. And I've been in a place in my life before where I needed help and I needed love. Any of y'all ever been there? Where there wasn't any food to put on the table? Where you didn't have any furniture to furnish a house? Right? Do you know what? This year, I got to tell you all this. Jane and I bought a couch. That may not sound like much to y'all, but we hadn't bought a couch in 30 years. We bought one couch 30 years ago. Since then, we haven't been able to get a couch. We've been getting hand-me-downs and hand-me-outs, couches and chairs and tables. My mother fairly furnished our house by throwing away stuff. Man, we have an opportunity to furnish people's houses. We have an opportunity to help those who are helpless and can't find a way to get help. We have an opportunity to help those who don't have a family like I have to back them up in their poverty. We can be their family. We can be those who love them. We can be those who help them. We can be those who serve them. We can be the hand of God in the community in which we live. God will make us able. We're Judah. We're Judah. We are the people of praise. We're the people who glorify God, who is great and who can do all things. We can open the gates that the righteous nation may enter in. The one that remains faithful. Not everybody's going to come in this room, guys. Not everybody's going to come in this room because that door right there, though it's glass and says, come in, it says, stay back as well. I told you the story about a man getting robbed here at the church out in the parking lot. Somebody took $17 out of his car. And he said to me, preacher, somebody stole $17 out of my car when I was here for lunch last Wednesday. And I said, you're kidding. He said, no. I thought you ought to know about it. I said, well, I'll get that money back for you. We'll find out who did this. He said, no, no, no. Now, I want you to understand, I don't have anything against stealing. But stealing at the church? I said, well, I got something against stealing, no matter where it is. But the fact is, there's things about church that just keep people back, man. There's things about sanctuaries that just keep people back, right? Sometimes it's because they don't want to be righteous. And sometimes it's because they don't believe they can be righteous. But I'm here to tell you that everyone can be made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, this is for a righteous nation. This is for people who passed under the blood. This place where we gather together and sing our songs and hear the word of God proclaimed is a place where the righteous come together and find fellowship and friendship and family. Where we find purpose and meaning and ministry. And some serve at the table and some provide the money for the meals and some pay the rent and some turn on the lights and some sing the songs like Wanda did this morning and some teach the youth and some teach the Bible study and everybody has a part and a piece in the whole. We got a new opportunity today. We've got an opportunity to become something we hadn't become yet. We got an opportunity to become a church in this community that's known and loved and desired and entered into by the lost and the saved alike. I believe it's a new day. I believe God wants to expand what's going on in here. I believe He wants to enlarge what's going on in here. I believe He wants to make what's going on in here greater than it has been before. The steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace. Because He trusts in you. I know this verse a different way. I know it like this. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. I know it as a song. I don't know where I learned it. Somewhere years and years and years and years ago. The righteous, if you and I will set our mind on God, He'll keep us in peace. This past week, guys, has been a restless week for a lot of people. It's been a week where people didn't understand how things turned out like they turned out in the national election. It's been a week where some rejoiced and some mourned. It's been an unusual week. It's been a week where some people's peace has just been evaporated and gone. Where they don't feel safe and they don't feel protected. It's been a week in which other people have let the worst that was inside of them come out and become threatening and angry and accusatory and hateful. But God will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. The problem most of us have is we don't understand God completely and thoroughly, and we need to understand Him more. Completely. And that's why I want to talk to you about rocks. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. An everlasting rock. That means a rock that will never erode. A rock that will never go away. A rock that is constantly present and never ever shifts or changes. It's always there. But it's a specific Hebrew word that means a ledge or a crag. All right? That means it's a rock you can get under. A shelter in a time of storm. It's a rock that you can get under and find protection from all that's raining down on everybody from the outside. It's a rock where we can gather under and find peace. It's a rock where we can gather under and find comfort. It's a rock we can get under and find that kind of fellowship that comes to all those who got nothing but a rock. Most people wouldn't run to a rock. They'd run to their houses. Most people would run to their luxurious domiciles. But you know, we got a rock. Most people would hide behind their strength and hide behind their wealth and hide behind everything they got. But we, the people of praise, have got a rock. That rock, the Psalm 18 says, is a crag. It's like a little cave, man. It's a little cave that has no back. It's a little cave that can hold as many people as we can cram in there. It's like a clown car, man. You could keep putting people in there and putting people in there and putting people in there and putting people in there, and it'll never end. It's like a garden that's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. It's filled with the protective peace and the salvation of our God. If you feel in danger, if you're struggling, come to the rock. Crawl up under the rock. I was going to bring a picture this morning. I should have done it. I have a picture of Jane. We were hiking through the mountains one time, and she got underneath this rock, and this thing is humongous. I mean, it's as big as, bigger than this area of chairs right here, and about this high up off the ground. And she went up underneath that thing. I couldn't get under. She went up underneath that thing, and she looks tiny under this humongous rock. No matter how small or insignificant you may feel or think you are, it doesn't matter how useless you might think you are, you can crawl under that rock. You can crawl under that rock that's eternal, that's everlasting. You can always crawl under that rock. It doesn't rot or fade away. It doesn't disappear. You can crawl under that rock. Jesus is a rock you can always come under. He said in a prophecy, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone the prophets, kill the lamb. How I've longed to gather you like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Jesus is our covering. People of praise, this is the promise for you that even though everything may rain down like crazy in the world about us, we can hide under the rock of our salvation. We can hide under the rock of our security. We can hide in that place that Jesus provides to keep us safe. Another word for the church is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Just say that with me for a second. We are the body of Christ. Let's say it one more time. We are the body of Christ. That means that in the world of time and space, we're the rock. I just want to let that sink in for a second. We're the rock. The everlasting rock in this place at this time. We are the everlasting rock. And those who are aching, and those who are hurting, those who are endangered, and those who are in need can come crawl up in this place and find strength and find help and find hope for the future. They can find a city whose walls are strong, stronger than the rocks of a cave's walls, thicker than the rocks of a mountain's walls. In the book of Daniel, God says he's going to raise up a mountain in the earth. He's going to take a rock and he's make that rock grow and grow and grow and grow and grow until it's chief of the mountains. Man, we are that rock. In the earth, the hands and the feet of God, the protective wings of our Savior, offering shelter to those who are assaulted by storm and difficulty and distress. We're learning on Wednesday nights that we're not here always to give people advice about how they could fix their problem. We're just here to hold them, to abide with them, to ease their suffering, to pray for them, to wait with them for the day when the suffering is destroyed and life is established for them afresh and new. Man, the world needs a friend. The world needs a friend bad, a friend who is a rock, who is eternal, who won't go away, who continues to grow stronger and stronger no matter how strong the powers of hell become. A rock that offers peace and provision and love and strength and grace. You and I, we're the rock. We are the people of God, the sons and the daughters of love. Right? We're a shelter for many because we're the temple of God. You know, when somebody had done something wrong in the Old Testament and the law was chasing them, what they could do? They could run to the temple of God and take hold of the horns of the altar. And as long as they'd hold on to the altar, they'd be safe. They'd be safe from prosecution. They'd be safe from the sentence that was due them. As long as they held to the horns of the altar. On each corner of the altar, there was a horn. As long as they held to the horn of the altar, they would be safe and secure. Man, what did they do on the altar, guys? Make sacrifice. You are the temple of God, the altar of our Lord. When the world comes to you and takes hold of you, don't condemn them. Don't put them down. Offer them love and grace. It will transform their view of the world. It will help them to understand the world is not a dangerous place that desires their death. And even if it is, in the world, there's a place of safety and a place of security where they can come and find rest. It's in the altars of the Lord. Even the sparrows, it says in the Psalms, nest in thine altars, O Lord. They find a safe place, a place of provision, a place of help, a place of hope. God is a rock. Jesus is a rock. We are Christ in the earth, and He will make us a rock in a land that's worn and weary with the burdens of life. Y'all know the burdens I'm talking about. The burdens of poverty. Not just I'm poor because I haven't got a job right now, but I'm poor because I haven't got a job. My family has never had a job, and their family never had a job. And no matter where I turn, people look at me and say, I can't employ you. You smell bad. I can't hire you. You're not educated. I can't offer you anything because you've got nothing to offer me. This rock doesn't ask for anything from anybody. It just offers safety to those who put their trust in it. Man, I want a rock like that. A rock that offers safety when I put my trust in it, right? An offer that extends a hand of help, extends a hand of love, extends a hand into a new place, into a new life, into a new existence. Over the next several weeks, we're going to learn a lot about different kinds of rocks. The first one is the rock of shelter, all right? The rock of shelter, the rock of salvation. Because under that rock, there's salvation, there's hope, there's a hiding place in God. There's a hiding place in God. I hope that you'll come as we go on that journey. You'll join us, that we find out who God is and who He wants us to be as a result of that. All right? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father God, we need a rock, Lord. We need a rock, Lord God, to hide under when the world is warring all around us. We need a rock, Lord God, to hide under when the bill collector's at the door. We need a rock to hide under, Lord God, when people hate us and revile us, speak evil of us. Lord God, we need a rock to run to, Lord Jesus, when we've got no way to make it and no understanding of what's going on. Lord God, we need a rock. My Father, I pray that you'd take us into your arms, that you'd heal us of our hurt, Lord God, and that you'd make us, Lord God, a refuge of salvation, a city, Lord God, that has strong walls, that can stand against, Lord Jesus, the torment the world pours out on the people around us. My God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you pour out upon us your Holy Spirit, that you cause us, Lord God, to receive your strength and your power, Lord Jesus. We ask that you cause us to become as you are, Lord God, everlasting and eternal, according to the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that today you create in us a hope and a vision, Lord God, that you'd inspire us, Lord Jesus, with dreams, dear God. I pray that you'd cause us to rise up and become your people. I ask, my God, that you cast down the gates of hell, that you drive out the spiritual forces of darkness, that you'd remove from our midst, Lord God, the doubting, dear Father. I pray that you'd destroy among us, Lord God, finger wagging, Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you gather us into yourself, Lord God. You breathe good, clean breath upon us, and that you cause us, dear Father, to rise up and be strong. I pray, Lord, that you pour clean water upon us, that you'd wash us and you'd make us holy. I ask, my God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you'd deliver us from accusation, that you'd hide us in the blood of the Lamb, that you'd help us, Lord God, to celebrate the forgiveness that you've made ours. My God, I pray that you create in us the courage to confess our sin and to live an honest life before you in the kingdom, dear Lord. I pray that you'd surround us with people who love you, Lord God, and are loved by you, Lord Jesus. People who know, Lord, that we are nothing. People, Lord God, of praise, who gather together, Lord, to call you great and acknowledge your goodness, dear Father, for you have made all things, dear Father, and you hold all things in your hand, and you hold us, Lord God, safe and secure from all alarm. Be with us now, Jesus. As we go from this place, I pray, God, that you would begin to create in us, Lord Jesus, a vision for all you'd have us be and all you'd have us do. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd cause this place to be a place of salvation for many and safety, Lord God. I pray you'd cause this to be a place of provision, Lord God. I ask, dear God, that you'd create a vision among us for all that can be done, dear Lord, as we reach out with love to the community about us, my God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. I'm painfully aware this morning that I did a poor job of giving you what I wanted to give you, and I don't know why, but it's okay. What I really want to do, what I really desire more than anything else this morning, if I could just be honest with you, and humiliated before you, is for you guys with me to get a vision for what God can do among us, what He wants to make us. I know that for some people it makes them tired to think about doing anything else. That's not what I want you to think about. I want you to think about what God can make you, all right? What He can make us together. I'm not asking anybody to do anything more than you've done. I'm asking us to be filled with the power of the Spirit of the living God. I'm asking us to become what God desires for us to be. I probably shouldn't have preached and should have just done this morning, because God wants to shape us and form us and make us into a place and a people that can provide what our community needs. You see, He loves our city. We live in the third poorest city in the country, and He loves our city. So if you feel poor, you're not out of place. You're right in place. He loves the people of this place, and He wants for us to come to Him, all right? He wants for us to be drawn to Him. He wants for us to experience His love and His grace and learn to put our faith in Him. And He wants the faith that we have in Him to transform who we are as we experience that grace. God wants us to be a people who pray, I mean, he really wants us to become a people who pray every single day in his presence, who lift up our concerns to him, who lift up one another to him. We won't become solid. We won't become a rock until we join together praying for one another and praying together for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done in this area. But we can become a rock. All right? We can become a place where people come and hide and find safety and refuge and salvation and vision and hope for the future. All right? And purpose. I mean, one of the things that people lack in our world, in our city, more than anything else, is a sense of purpose and personal value. You can get in places where there are people who have plenty of purpose and sense of personal value, but our place right here, our neighborhood from here out through here, there's a dearth of a sense of purpose and personal value. But we are here to value people the way God values people. You know, I got 4 kids, right? One of them's here. 3 of them are other places. There's only one person more valuable to me than those 4 kids, and that's my wife, right? And that's because that's the way God made it. And I'm more concerned about their safety and their salvation than anybody else's, you know? And we're all God's children. You see, I'm not able to do what God does. I mean, when I think about what God does when he looks on our world and our society and the struggle and the danger and the pain that people go through, man, I get broken. I mean, I get broken in half when I think of the stuff that people go through and experience. But each one of us can care for one or two and start lifting them up and praying for them. We can care for somebody else in the room and somebody outside the room. We can get to know somebody we don't know and haven't known before and have some fellowship with them and value them and love them and care for them. It's our purpose in life to do that, to engage with them, to give them a place and a family of people who are concerned about them, who think they're important the way that God thinks they're important. I'm not asking anybody here to do something that God didn't create you to do. I'm asking everybody here to do exactly what God created us to do, and that's to become a port, a place of safety, a place of security, a place of salvation for somebody in your life, for somebody you meet, for somebody you know, all right? To pray more, to embrace people more. In the scripture, when Jesus says, go into the highways and byways and compel the people to come, the word there for compel means put your arm around them. Put your arm around them, which in our society might be put your car door around them, right? Bring them. Get involved in their lives. Draw them in and be there. You know, one of the best things that you can do as a Christian, I know I'm preaching to the choir here now, but I'm going to say that one of the best things you can do as a Christian is be at the meetings. I mean Bible studies and Sunday worship services, because there's sometimes when people have invited people and the people they invited showed up and the people who invited them didn't show up. their arms and you didn't show up. It's like they showed up with no arms, nothing to catch them, nothing to hold them. And I don't know if you ever had that experience or not, but I get on the other side of it because, by the way, I'm at almost all the meetings. But being here is more than just hearing me preach a bad sermon. It's being here for somebody who needs a rock, man. They need a place to hide, and you've invited them to come hide in the rock with you, and they need you to be here and say, oh, good. I'm glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. I mean, that's an important and valuable part of everything we're doing. I mean, if they'll let you give them a ride, give them a ride. But if they won't let you give them a ride and they show up, be here. to catch them, to love them, to hold them, because it's extremely important. We'll buy more chairs if we need to, but you guys start compelling them to come, okay? And when they come, you show up, and that way we'll know that they're getting caught and put in a place where it's safe and secure and provided for. I hope that we can begin together to get an understanding of what God can do here in this place. I hope that you'll, I would love to give some testimony, but I'm not exactly going to do that right now, but except in general. You ready? We have furnished 2 people's houses this year who had no furniture in their house, guys. Do you know that? That's mood music. We have provided groceries for 2 families that I know of almost on a weekly basis through the food pantry. I don't know if you know that or not. We have provided beds for a young mother who had 3 kids who couldn't get any beds. Another mother who got thrown out of her apartment and had to leave everything in there because they locked the door behind her. We were able to provide beds for her and for her children as well. The fact is that we're able to do a lot of things, but we could do a whole lot more if we together pray and trust and believe that God wants to use us as a resource for bringing mercy to the community we live in. Mercy and the word of truth. Because when people come in here and get together here in the room outside there, we get opportunities to pray for people every week. Opportunities to pray for people. We get opportunities to talk with people and listen to people every week who can't get anybody to listen to them anywhere else. You may not even be able to do anything for them, but you can listen to a man. To give somebody the dignity of being listened to is extremely, extremely valuable. People need to be listened to, especially folks who are suffering. They don't need a whole lot else sometimes, except just somebody to soak up the suffering a little bit so they don't have to bear it so much. It's so heavy. You know what I'm saying? When I was a little kid, not too little, but about 12, I was babysitting for my sisters while my parents went out. It was Christmas time. I didn't mind because I knew that if I was good, Santa Claus would come. And one of my sisters ate too much. Don't know how that happened. I wasn't watching. And she got sick, right? And she started calling out for Mama. Of course, Mama wasn't there. She was asleep in her bed. Mama wasn't there, and I was there, and I went in. And she was, whoa, 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 whoa. And I thought, oh, my gosh. All right? So I grabbed her, and I picked her up, and I did the thing that every loving, gentle parent would do. I held her out like this, ran to the shower, and stuck her in there and said, throw up here. I mean, okay, so I wasn't a good parent at 12. But there are people who just need to throw up on somebody. You know? They just need to throw up all the fear, all the anger, all the anguish, all the trouble, all the hatred, all the venom that's in their souls. Right? God did it to me on Wednesday. He very nicely said, Pastor, can I talk to you for a second? And I went in and did this room with him. And he started letting me have it, man. Just letting me have the whole thing because I said a prayer wrong, he said. I said the prayer wrong. And then he was just letting me have it totally and completely. Letting me have it. And I just let him let me have it. Let me have it. Let me have it for about 5 minutes. He let me have it. He says, I'll never come in here again. I'll never eat your food again. I said, wait 1 minute. You don't have to. But I listen to you. Will you listen to me? He said, I guess I owe you that. Right? So I got a chance to talk to him about what I was praying about. Explain to him what was going on in the prayer and what was needed in our community. And he stayed. And he came back the next day. I hope he'll come some more. But if you don't let somebody throw up on you, You may not get a chance to share with them. Right? People need a place to throw up sometimes. He was full of venom and hatred. Right? And he just needed to throw up on somebody, and then he was better. The next day he came in and asked me for advice about something. Do you see how this works? He may never come back again, but he might. And I might have a new relationship and a new friend. Man, we need each other, and our community needs us to be a place where it's safe to throw up, a place where it's safe to confess. You know, I want you to know this is a place where it's safe to confess. I confess to you this morning, I did not prepare well for my sermon. Poop. It's embarrassing. There's another preacher here, Howard Conine, who's pastored a big church in this town, and I just totally embarrassed myself in front of him. And I have to have lunch with him tomorrow. But the fact is...
I don't receive that.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you so much. If I didn't do a good job, at least it was long. The truth of the matter is, this needs to be a place where we can confess, right? Where we can acknowledge our weakness, where we can seek prayer for strength. You don't have to come in here and be perfect. You come in here to be perfected, right? By the mercy and the grace of God. And we need to offer that to other people who come in the door in a larger and larger and larger way. I don't know what it's going to look like, guys. It might be scary as heck. Sometimes it's scary as heck. I can remember times in my life when Jane and I would, and sometimes Jane by herself, would drive off into areas that I would not let her go anymore to pick up people to come to church, right? Who would come, not because they wanted to be at church, but because they were hungry and they wanted some food, right? It's scary sometimes. It's weird sometimes. But it provides some people a place of safety and of hope, a place where they can think about there's a future for them. They can plan. And you know what a lot of them will do? They'll get better by the grace of God. And they'll leave, which is what they need to do worse than anything else in the world. Because they need to be somewhere that's more normal than you guys are. I'm sorry. And that's okay. It happens all the time. It's happened here. You don't realize that? We did, not a couple years ago, we did a wedding and a wedding reception and wedding presents and showers for a young couple, right? Who, unbeknownst to me, the husband had a crack addiction that they hid from me. He wound up going back to jail, but she got a job and was able to take care of her children and never return again because she needed to be somewhere that wasn't here. And it was cool. It was good. It happens like that sometimes. That's what this work is like. That's what this rock, this part of the rock, is like. Okay? So don't be discouraged or down disheartened. Know for certain that God didn't let one thing, that we do in His kingdom fall to the ground without accomplishing the purpose that He sent us here for, because He's that powerful and He's that capable and He's that able. There's nothing that He can't take into His hand and use for His good. Even the worst stuff that the world dishes out, He's a rock. He is a rock on which we can rely, on which we can depend. Let's bow our heads now. Father God, thank you so much for the people in this room, Lord Jesus, and for those who can't be here because of sickness or travel, Lord Jesus. I thank you for Hope Springs. I ask, my God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would please bind us together and that you would please breathe into us, Lord God, your hope, your love, and your power, that we might become, Lord Jesus, everything that you want us to become, and thereby glorify your name, Lord God, and bring many sons and daughters to glory through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.